الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal and we ask Him to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In continuation of the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, we have stopped last week at Ayah 87, which we have completed inshaAllah. And today we will begin bi'idhnillah the discussion on Ayah 88 onwards. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim minash shaitan rajim. وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. And fear Allah in whom you are believers. Shaykh Abd Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in commenting on this ayah, ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِضِدِّ مَا عَلَيْهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ الَّذِينَ يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ. So then Allah commanded exactly the opposite of what the polytheists are upon. And this is an Islamic principle that the Jews identified at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of how often the Prophet alaihi wasallam will say, "Khalifu al-mushrikeen, khalifu al-yahuda wal-nasara, khalifu ahl al-kitab." Huh? Distinguish yourself. Go against the mushrikeen. Go against the people of the book. Khalifu here, meaning distinguish yourself from them. Differentiate yourself from them. Separate yourself from them. So, they would grow their beards and mustaches. He said, grow your beard and trim your mustache. And trim your mustache. This is for those who grew the beard from Ahlul Kitab. The mushrikeen who used to shave, some of them shave completely. He said, distinguish yourself from them. When he saw the two convoys of Kisra, the Persian king at that time, who were clean shaved or clean shaven, and they had a long mustache and no beard. And so when the Prophet ﷺ saw them, he was repelled by their appearance, which is a very critical issue that we only wish Muslims would consider today. Imagine the Messenger of Allah was repelled by their appearance, something that looks disgusting, something that looks abnormal, some distortion of the creation of Allah. Distortion of the creation of Allah, تَغْيِيرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. He said, وَيْحَكُمْ, woe to you, who commanded you to do this to yourselves? What have you done to yourselves? It's like someone who has a tattoo and he has distorted his body. Or someone who shaved his eyebrows. You know how weird that would look? He said, who commanded you to do this? They said, our Lord, Kisra. He said, well, my Lord commanded me to grow my beard and trim my mustache. It's one of the very many ahadith in reference to the obligation of growing a beard for the Muslim man, of course. But, and others like that. So the Jews, for example, would never pray with their shoes on. So the Prophet ﷺ said, distinguish yourself from the Jews. Pray with your shoes on. Put on your shoes when you pray, if the situation allows it. Now, you have to have intelligence. Applying the sunnah without intelligence entails not applying the sunnah. So you can't go to some fancy masjid with a 100,000 riyal rug and say, wallah, I want to apply the sunnah of prayer with my shoes. And you go straight from the hammam with the shoes, right into the masjid, leaving these footprints until you make it say, wakhir ya, this is the sunnah. This is dumb, brother. The sunnah, if you are out in a outing with the people in a picnic in a park, huh? And you had to choose between putting on the shoes and taking them off, and you're able to keep them on, sometimes the type of clothing you're wearing does not allow you to keep on your shoes. You may be wearing a white thawb. And when you sit on your pants, on your shoes, it's going to leave a mark on your thawb. Islam doesn't want you to look also silly. So then you're excused. But once you are in a position, you're wearing by your cargo shorts or shorts which cargo, which are the ones below the knees, huh? You're wearing something that can accommodate some dirt and so on and so forth. Put on the shoes. Apply the sunnah and wear your shoes. So when the Prophet ﷺ continued to say this, the Jews figured it out. They said, this man is not going to leave anything of our religion except, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, except that he will go against it. They understood the objective of the Messenger of Allah, that he wouldn't leave anything that was related to their religion except that we will go against it. Not only we don't resemble them in it, no, we actually go against it. We go in the opposite direction. This is a fundamental principle in Islam. Of course, this is pertaining to the matters of the deen. As for the matters of the dunya, it depends. It depends. Generally, there's no issue. Yani, you're wearing glasses. Like, the Jews and the Christians and the Kuffar wear glasses. Is Islam now telling you, take off your glasses? Why? They wear them and you should distinguish yourself from them? No. This is a matter from the matters of the dunya. It is not related to religion. So what is mainly intended is the matters of religion. In the matters of the dunya, the scholars say, if you're able to leave it alone, depending on what it is, then also leave it alone as means of showing your adherence to Islam. But they cannot go to the extent of saying that it's haram for you to do it if it's from the matters of the dunya, the matters of the world only. على كل حال, that's why the Sheikh began, ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِضِدِّ مَا عَلَيْهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Allah commanded to do exactly the opposite of what the polytheists are upon. الَّذِينَ يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ. What is their trait? They make unlawful what Allah made lawful. They make unlawful what Allah made lawful. فقال وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Eat from that which Allah has provided for you, which is good and lawful. أَيْكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ الَّذِي سَاقَهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. Eat from the sustenance which he has driven or which he has provided to you. بِمَا يَسَّرَهُ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Through the means that Allah facilitated. إِذَا كَانَ حَلَالًا لَا سَرِقَةَ وَلَا غَصْبًا وَلَا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ أَنْوَاعِ الْأَمْوَالِ الَّتِي تُؤْخَذْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Halal in a sense, it is not stolen. And it is not taken by force from someone or any of the other means wherein you obtain money without a just right. Like riba. Huh? Whether you're dealing with the bank or you're dealing with a human being. You have people who say, you need money, abshir. Here's 500 riyals. When you pay me back, give me 700. Huh? Give me back 700 or 500, and each month you're unable to pay, I'll charge you 30 riyals per month. Alaykum salam. After 6 months, it will become 50 riyals. Sah? 50 riyals, something like that. This is called riba. Haram. Haram in Islam. Or the bank. The bank which tells you, ma fi mushkila. Put your money in the savings account, and we will give you a percentage on that amount which is sitting in the bank, which you may take after 1 month or 1 year or whatever the case may be, and you may come up with a lump sum of money. And many people, what they do is they take the money, they get into this transaction, and they say, what am I supposed to do with the money? Well, the question is, why did you take the money to begin with? Why did you even open an account where there's interest? They say, in my country, there's no such thing. All savings accounts have interest. Incorrect. This is incorrect. And I'm speaking from my personal experience living abroad, without mentioning the country. It's a Western country, and I had multiple accounts and multiple banks, and none of them had interest. So if you take the time to speak with the bank, you go to the bank, director, whoever, say, listen, I'm a Muslim and this is unlawful in my religion. I would like an account where I just keep my money there, and when I need it, you give it back to me. I don't want you to give me anything. They will work something out for you if they don't have it as part of the system. So don't opt for that one and then say, wallah, now I have money. Do I go give it to Sabaka, or do I give it to my mother, or do I give it? You're not supposed to do this because you have taken the money which is haram in and of itself. So these are examples of unlawful sources of money. You're making money unlawfully. وكان أيضا طيبا. And it has to be also طيب, good. وهو الذي لا خبث فيه, the one which has no evil involved in it. فخرج بذلك الخبيث من السباع والخبائث. So excluded from that are different kinds of wild animals and things like that. Certain animals which are not halal for Muslims to consume. Right? Lions and tigers and stuff like that. واتقوا الله في امتثال أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. And be mindful of Allah, have taqwa of Allah by fulfilling what He commanded and avoiding what He forbade. الذي أنتم به مؤمنون, the one in whom you are believers. فإن إيمانكم بالله يوجب عليكم تقواه ومراعاة حقه. Your iman, your belief in Allah necessitates upon you fearing Him and observing His right. فإنه لا يتم إلا بذلك. Because your faith will never be completed or perfected except by doing that. ودلت الآية الكريمة على أنه إذا حرم حلالا عليه من طعام وشراب وسرية وأمة ونحو ذلك فإنه لا يكون حراما بتحريمه. Very interesting. The noble ayah indicates that if someone made haram upon himself what is halal, such as food and drink. Huh? It's haram for me to eat pizza from now on. Example. Or sariya or ama. You know, in warfare, if Muslims were to defeat the enemies of Islam, huh? Then their women become the property of the Muslim men. The women of the opposing army become a property of the Muslim men. And that woman, it is lawful for the Muslim man to have relations with her. Do you guys know this or not? Huh? The young man over there. Did you know this? Do you have a problem with it? Good. Anyone else? No, because we have Muslims who are shy or they're like, oh no, don't say this in front of anyone. This is bad. No, it is not. No, it is not. That's what Allah wants. That's what Allah legislated. So you don't have a problem. See, this is the sickness in the minds of these people. You give them this information which is from the religion and they become concerned. Yet, they hear and see some dude going out with some lady out of wedlock, no relationship except boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're having sexual relations and she's pregnant and she has a child. No problem. He doesn't feel this. He doesn't. It's not heavy and it's like, whoa, no way. How could people do this? No, no, it's normal. Oh, yeah, she's pregnant. Tough. No problem. So they've been brainwashed into believing that having sexual relations totally outside of anything pertaining to the deen of Allah is acceptable, but something which Allah legislated within His religion is repulsive. This is from the effects of brainwashing. The brainwashing of the Western media and the Western world to the Muslim mentality, where they make you become very much lenient and receptive of any of their nonsense, but your own religious matters become to you a source of shame. And it should never be the case. So if you have to ever address this issue, don't apologize. Don't apologize. And explain to them the wisdom behind it. There are many wisdoms for the woman and for the man. And this is what happens, by the way, in this world, regardless of religion. Meaning now, if Germany were to invade Britain, then what happens? Germany will own Britain and the properties there and everyone, and they will enslave the people. In warfare, they do exactly the same thing. So if it is done in a non-religious title, it's acceptable. Once religion becomes involved, it becomes a taboo. Or something that is, repulsive. So be careful of the twisting of facts. So anyways, the sheikh said, if someone made haram then upon himself, that which is halal, some food and drink, or he says, this Emma, this slave girl, I'm haram for me. Huh? The sheikh said, that does not make it haram. He would not, it does not change the fact that it is halal for him. But if he were to do this, then he has to pay the expiation of an oath. Expiation of an oath. If he were to say, wallahi, this, wallahi, I will not touch her ever. She's haram for me if I ever touch her. That oath of his does not change the fact that she's halal, and he is supposed to pay the kafara of an oath, of a false oath, to make up for that swearing of his. Otherwise, it does not change her from being halal to him to being haram, because he made it haram upon himself. And of course, you know, we have an example which happened with the Prophet ﷺ, with his wives and so on and so forth, with the honey. And then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed ayat in regards to that. كما قال تعالى يا أيها النبي لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك. O Prophet, why do you make Allah for what Allah made lawful for you? Al-aya. إلى أن تحريم الزوجة فيه كفارة ظهار. Except that if someone were to go to the extent of saying my own wife is haram upon me. And that used to be an عادة or something common at the days of Jahiliyyah. Yani he becomes upset with his wife, he would tell her, you are as unlawful to me as my mother. Which is known as dhihar. Yani qadhahri ummi. Yani how unlawful is your mother to you? He's saying to his wife, you are as unlawful to me as my mother. Does that make any sense? Is that possible? Yes, Sheikh, that is your mother, that is your wife. If there's anyone lawful for you in the dunya, it is your wife. And if there's anyone unlawful for you in this dunya, it's your mother. So how are you making these two the same? How are you making your wife like your mother? Because of that gravity of this oath, Allah Azza wa Jal made a whole different kafara. Which I believe is in the beginning of Surah Al-Tahrim. Huh? In the beginning of Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah mentioned the kafara, which is the kafara al-ghalidha of fasting two consecutive months or something like that for that kind of swearing. ويدخل في هذه الآية أنه لا ينبغي للإنسان أن يتجنب الطيبات ويحرمها على نفسه بل يتناولها مستعينا أو يتناولها مستعينا بها على طاعة ربه. Interesting comment from the Sheikh, which goes against the foundations of Sufism. He said, and included in this ayah is the idea that you should not avoid the good things which Allah created. Huh? Don't avoid them. Yani Allah made strawberry very delicious, huh? And pineapple, and you know, sorry for the examples, guys, huh? It's like in the morning, I know. Or ful and tamiz, whatever you like. Huh? Allah made them lawful. It is not from the sunnah to come and say, wallahi, this is so delicious, I'm not going to have it. Why? Wallahi, akhi, zuhd. Asceticism. I want to avoid the goods of this dunya. Sheikh said, don't do that. Rather, take it with the intention of that thing helping you become more obedient to Allah. Use it as means of strengthening you to worship Allah. Don't avoid the things which Allah made lawful and good just for the sake of doing it. Now it doesn't mean that you go out, because some people love to go to the other extreme. Huh? As soon as we finish this dars, he will go to Danube with the shopping cart, say, aywa, this one, and all the things which he used to avoid because they were expensive. He'll fill up the shopping cart, go home and eat to death. Say, wallah, you said to use them to help, worship Allah, and I like all of these. Huh? Balance. We're saying, and if the thing is available, don't make it haram for yourself. It doesn't mean you go out of your way to do it. Which means not every time you see something, you buy it. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you see things that are good. Sometimes if you buy everything you see, you'll be broke very soon. Anyways, ayah number 89. Wait a second. Aywa. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم واحفظوا أيمانكم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تشكرون. Interesting ayah which we have to memorize because there's an important ruling in it that people often ask about. And if we don't remember it, then we will always have to call someone to answer the question, and you should be able to answer that question. Okay? So the English says, if I do find it, that is, right there. Allah will not impose blame upon you for what is meaningless in your oaths, but He will impose blame upon you for breaking what you intended of oaths. So its expiation is the feeding of 10 needy people from the average of that which you feed your own families or clothing them, or the freeing of a slave. But whoever cannot find or afford it, then a fast of 3 days is required. That is the expiation for oaths when you have sworn. But guard your oaths. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be grateful. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم أي في أيمانكم التي صدرت على وجه اللغو وهي الأيمان التي حلف بها المقسم من غير نية ولا قصد. Allah does not impose blame upon you in regards to those oaths which just kind of run on your tongue involuntarily. The things which you just say. Huh? And this is very common in the Arab culture, among the Arabs. Wallah, 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 wallah ma tiji, wallah ta'kul, wallah truh, wallah tiji, wallah. The whole time saying wallah. Wallah is an oath. Wallah is an oath. By Allah, you're swearing by Allah. So, because it was very common from back then until today, that expression is made all the time, Allah Azza wa Jal made a distinction. Because if Allah were to hold us accountable for every time we say wallah, yani a person comes and says, wallah, you will eat. Huh? And the person doesn't eat. You know what should happen? If the oath, you would have to now do the expiation which we mentioned later, because you said wallah eat and he didn't eat. What if you said to 5 people, wallah you will eat, wallah you will eat, wallah you will eat, wallah you will eat, and all of them got up and left? Marhaba. You're broke. Keep paying, you know, feeding people and so on, fasting your whole life. It's not going to work. So that wallah which runs on the tongue of the people, Allah said He will not impose any blame on you for that. It's like a meaningless oath. Because there's no niyyah, there's no intent that you really want to swear. Or he swore while he really thought he was honest. Wallah, I didn't do it. And he really thought he was innocent, but it turned out that he did it by mistake, for example. فَبَانَ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. But it turned out to be other than that. المهم وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ أي بِمَا عَزَمْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will impose on you blame for that which you intend, that which your heart is firm on. أي بِمَا عَزَمْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَعَقَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. خلاص, يعني you swear. يعني والله, if you don't come tomorrow on time, I will not, for example, give you your allowance. You say it to your son, and when you stand in there saying wallahi, huh, you actually mean it. You know that you're making an oath, and that you will fulfill that oath at the time of saying it. It's not one of these wallahi which run on your tongue. You actually mean it. أيوة. كما قال في الآية الأخرى, as Allah said in another ayah, ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم. However, Allah will hold you accountable for what your hearts have earned. فكفارته أي كفارة اليمين التي عقدتموها بقصدكم. So, what is the expiation for that? You said to your son, wallahi, I will not give you allowance if you don't come on time. Huh? And you meant it when you were making the oath, and he didn't come. And now you have to expiate, and now he needs money. You have to give him his allowance, and you have to expiate for that oath of yours. What is the kafara or the expiation? Remember the word kafara and expiation. إطعام عشرة مساكين, that you feed 10 poor people. وذلك الإطعام من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم. And that feeding is according to the average of what you would feed your own families. If you don't want to feed 10 poor people, then clothe 10 poor people. Kiswatuhum is clothing. أي كسوة عشرة مساكين والكسوة هي التي تجزي في الصلاة. If you want to know what would fulfill the clothing, whatever will cover him in salah. If you give him enough clothes to cover him in salah, where his salah is sahiha because his awra is covered, then that acts as a kiswa for one person. And you don't have to go buy him a whole suit. Huh? With the shoes and all, the whole thing, yani full-fledged. So no, whatever is enough to cover his awra in salah. If you can, or now we are still in the or business. Either you feed 10, or you clothe 10, or tahriru raqaba, freeing or emancipating a slave. أيعتق رقبة مؤمنة كما قيدت في غير هذا الموضع. And that black slave has to be a believer, as it has been restricted in another ayah. فمتى فعل واحدة من هذه الثلاثة فقد انحلت يمينه. Anytime you do one of these three, then you have fulfilled the oath. You have expiated for the oath. Huh? So the first three options are options. Feeding 10 poor people. An average meal. Like you would feed your own family. Yeah, and you don't buy a hamburger for your family and you get them half a sandwich. Huh? Or clothing them. Or تحرير رقبة, which is the last option, is the one that is the least probable in this day and time. If you're unable to do any of these ors, or, up to you, when you neither have money to feed 10 people or clothe 10 people, and obviously you cannot find a slave to free him, فصيام ثلاثة أيام, then you fast 3 days. This is very important because many people don't know. And they assume that as soon as they do a kafar, as soon as they swear an oath, the first thing they go for is what? They say, be careful now, you have to fast 3 days. La ya akhi. The fasting of the 3 days is when you're unable to do the first three. If you're able to do the first three, you don't have the concession to do this one yet. Which means many people may be confused in their fasting days and it doesn't expiate their kafara, even though this is explicitly in the book of Allah. سبحان الله. المهم المذكور كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم تكفره وتمحوه وتمنع من الإثم. So it expiates and it prevents sinfulness. واحفظوا أيمانكم. And Allah عز وجل is saying and guard your oath. Yes, yeah, عبد الهادي.
This is the same ruling regarding the one who was not fulfilled. I mean, he break his fast during the month of Ramadan.
No. What, by having relations with his wife? لا. The other one is al-kaffara al-ghaliza, which is what? Which is fasting. No, first, fasting 2 months. Huh? Consecutively, yes. Or, no, I don't know about the freeing of the slave. The man came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I did this. Yeah, feed the 16 miskin, but I'm trying to remember that they actually have an order. They have an order which if you can't do this, then you do the other one. So we have to be careful about the order in which they come, so we won't jump, you know, into the last one before we deal with the first one. I don't recall right now exactly the sequence. Al-Mu'min, it's a different kafara, Ya Abdul Hadi. It's known as al-kafara al-ghaliza, which is one of the most difficult forms of expiation. Because it requires a lot of effort. Like I know we know already, we agree that it includes either fasting 60 days consecutively, 2 months, or feeding 60 people. And I'm trying to remember the third. Is it emancipating a slave?
Yes, it's
yeah. Al-Muhim? No, these are different, Ya Abdul Hadi. وَاحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانِكُمْ عَنِ الْحَلْفِ بِاللَّهِ كَاذِبًا. And guard your oath against swearing by Allah when lying, if lying, or if you wind up lying. وَعَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْأَيْمَانِ. Also avoid the wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Huh? وَاحْفَظُوهَا إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ عَنِ الْحَنْثِ فِيهَا. And also guard it so that if you were to make an oath, make sure that you fulfill it. إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْحَنَثْ خَيْرًا فَتَمَامُ الْحِفْظِ أَنْ يَفْعَلْ خَيْرًا. Unless you swore about something good, in which case do that which you have given an oath to do. ولا يكون يمينه وعرضة لذلك الخير. And don't make your oath a preventive factor in doing good. يعني someone swore that I will not fast Monday and Thursday ever again. Wallahi, I will not fast Monday and Thursday, for example. Say, hey, Muhammad, take it easy. Yeah? Do a kafara. And why? If that oath of yours is going to prevent you from good, then don't fulfill it. Don't fulfill it. Rather, break it and expiate for that oath of yours and do good. And do good. كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته. Such Allah makes His signs and verses clear to you. المبينة للحلال من الحرام. What does it clarify? It clarifies lawful from unlawful. الموضح للأحكام. And it clarifies the rulings. لعلكم تشكرون. So perhaps you may be thankful. الله تشكرون الله حيث علمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. You are thankful to Allah who taught you that which you knew not. فعلى العباد شكر الله تعالى على ما من به عليهم. So the slaves have to thank Allah عز وجل for what He has. For what Allah has bestowed upon them. من معرفة الأحكام الشرعية وتبيينها. What Allah has blessed us with, knowing the rulings and clarifying them for us. So you find that يعني, these things are very clear-cut, straightforward, very self-explanatory in the book of Allah. When you do this, how to rectify it and how to fix it. No. Long ayah. So what time is your class, Dr. Yahya? Yeah, that's enough, inshallah. Or should we continue the ayah?
Yes.
Continue, yalla, yalla. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. The ayah reads, it's an interesting ayah, by the way, we're going to something totally different. Yeah, all you have believed, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone altars to other than Allah, and divining arrows are but defilement from the work of Satan. So avoid it that you may be successful. The Shaykh said, تفسير الآيتين 90 و 91. يذم تعالى هذه الأشياء القبيحة. Allah here belittles and criticizes these ugly acts. وَيُخْبِرُ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He further informs us that it is from the handiwork of Satan. وَأَنَّهَا رِجْسٌ. And it is wicked and evil. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ أَيُتْرُكُوهُ. So avoid all of that, meaning leave it alone. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Perhaps you will attain falah. فَإِنَّ الْفَلَاحَ لَا يَتُمُّ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Success can never be attained unless you abandon what Allah has made unlawful. Success can never be attained unless you abandon what Allah made unlawful. We ask Allah to help us. خُصُوصًا هَذِي الْفَوَاحِشِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ. Specifically these abhorrent acts which Allah listed. وَهِيَ الْخَمْرُ. And it is khamr. Now khamr, the first issue we have is translating it. Because some people translate it as wine. صح? And that is incorrect. That is incorrect. Because if you were to say wine, then this opens the door for many people who like to twist and say Islam made wine haram. I don't like wine. I like tequila. I drink vodka, beer, whatever other alcoholic beverages that exist. He would tell you, yeah, Allah said wine. You said wine, I'm not drinking wine. Therefore, these other things are lawful. And you may think this is crazy. It is. We have Muslims today who drink beer, straight up regular beer, and say, it is not what Allah made haram. Allah made haram what was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, which was nabith, or it was khamr, which is the wine, and that is not included in that. So that's why khamr, you have to know the word khamr from khimar. Does a woman wear a khimar? What is the khimar of the woman?
Donkey.
La, khimar is donkey, barakallahu fiqh. Khimar is... Wallah, if the sisters heard you right now, brother, that would be the last day on earth. Huh? Say, woman, donkey in the same sentence? Khimar is that outer garment that the sister wears that covers her shoulders and head. What she puts it on her head and it covers her whole body, at least the upper part. So you have the niqab, which is covering the face, hello, and you have the jilbab, which is covering her shoulder downwards, and the khimar is that part which links, it depends on the style they wear, it links the head with the rest of the body so that there's more coverage. So why is it called khamar? Comes from khimar because it covers your brain. Anything which covers your brain so that you don't think straight is khamar, intoxicants. Now that includes all alcoholic beverages and even marijuana and cocaine and crack and you name it. Because all of these have the same, they do the same thing to you. They cover your brain from thinking straight. Therefore, they fall under the general meaning of the word khamar. See how important it is? Huh? Be careful now. The Shaykh said, وَهِيَ الْخَمْرُ وَيَكُلْ مَا خَامَرَ الْعَقْلِ أَيْ غَطَّهُ بِسَكَرِ. Khamr is anything which covers the brain, meaning it covers the brain with its, because of its intoxication element. Because it intoxicates. وَالْمَيْسِرْ and مَيْسِرْ هُوَ جَمِيعِ الْمُغَالَبَاتِ الَّتِي فِيهَا عِوَضْ مِنَ الْجَرِبَيْنِ. All kinds of transactions which you have to, like the, you have to replace it, like, you know, gambling. Huh? Put 50 riyals on number 45 and throw the dice, huh? Or on double sixes, for example. If the dice come on double sixes, huh? I'm sure they have a name for that, right? For those who have jahiliyyah days, then you will make 50 riyals. If it doesn't, does he give you 50 riyals back? Huh? Sounds like insurance, huh? That's exactly, that's why the scholars say insurance as we know it today is unlawful, because it is just like gambling. You give the insurance company monthly installments or one time shot, whatever, for that policy. Huh? They say, give us 5,000 riyals and we will cover you up to 500,000 riyals. If anything happens to you up to that limit, it's on us. If nothing happens to you, do you receive a nice paycheck at the end of the year? Say, you know, we're very sad that nothing happened to you and that you have not died yet. Therefore, we're giving you back your money. Thank you very much. We hope you register with us again. Has anyone ever received this money back from the insurance company? No, 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 no. Now, I worked for insurance companies for some time back in my jahiliyyah, just so you won't get on my case, before Islam and all that good stuff. And internally, I'm giving you internally, insurance companies only pay back 3% from what they make from people. The actual return that they pay out from the money they make is only 3%. Meaning, if 100 people paid the insurance company X amount of money, from the 100, the company only pays for 3 who actually will maximize the amount they made, and 97 people, nothing happens to them, and the insurance company swallows their money. So even though there may be a huge claim for someone, he paid 5,000 riyals, his surgery cost 200,000 riyals, you say, oof, the company is going to go broke. No, Habibi. No, because they made another 50 policies that nothing happened to the guy except some medication or some nonsense which cost them absolutely nothing. So their win ratio, huh, is huge compared to what they pay out from their pockets. So insurance companies are big time thieves, high caliber thieves. But at the end of the day, it's gambling. Now, of course, the good news we have is that and there are multiple fatawa from the ulama on this particular issue, is that if you have a job, and your job, part of your package is medical coverage, which is what I would prefer to call it versus insurance, huh? Medical coverage. And you pay absolutely nothing, then it is halal for you, haram upon the company. Why? Because it falls under your right. I don't care how you give me my medical coverage. The company is liable. They want to kill someone, take their money and pay for your medical coverage, or they want to take it from their profit, or they want to take... It doesn't involve you. How? Because you may work for a company, and a company sells office supplies. And at the same time, the company has a branch that deals with riba. Okay? They sell whatever, real estate or something that has something haram, mortgage or whatever. Does that make your salary haram? Because the company, part of its, the money which is rolling around is haram? No. What they do concerns them. You have a contract with them. I do ABC which is halal, and you give me this money that is halal for you. Otherwise, you will never be able to work for any company. Because you never know what this company is doing outside of that, so your area. Mashi? So if the company has a deal with the insurance company, wherein the end result is you have medical coverage, then it is, and this is a fatwa of Sheikh Muhammad Saleh Munajjid and many of the ulama. In fact, I don't know any alim who went against this fatwa. Just so you will know, we're not playing around with the deen of Allah. Then it is lawful for you as long as you don't pay anything. This is why, if you are in this predicament, fight for your right to have 100% coverage. If they tell you 5% on you, 95% on the company, it becomes unlawful for you. Why? Because now you have become part of the transaction. When you go to the hospital and they give you a bill of 500 riyals, the company, insurance company is covering 95% and you have to pay 5%, now you have gotten in the middle of the transaction and the insurance and the riba involved, you become liable. But if not, 100% coverage, you go out, none of my business. The company will pay for the consequences of them doing however they paid for my coverage as a package for me as an employee. I'm covered medically. Is that clear? No. No. It depends on your package. It depends on your insurance. I know from my own Bupa, the one which I have, and it's not even the highest. I think they have platinum and I don't know what. The one I have, nothing. You pay absolutely nothing at any point in time. No medication, no percentage, nothing, zero.
No, but what I'm saying now, some companies, like my company now, before we don't pay a single.
Then you have to fight. Otherwise, you cannot benefit from it. That's what I'm saying. It's a very fine line. It's a very fine line. That's why you have to somehow, deal or work it out with the company so that they give you that full coverage.
Most of us have these problems. We don't have 100%.
I understand, brother. I understand. And but
so what is the thing that we're going to do now? We're not going to use this.
According to the fatwa, yes, you cannot use it. If you're starting to pay, then you're part of the transaction. Like I said, there are tens of fatawa on Islam QA. Go on islamqa.info and read the explanation and the breakdown and the evidence. So, tell your employers to become more flexible and get the higher package, even if it's on the expense of, other things that are part of your package, but get that out of the way. Get that out of the way. In our company, by the way, just to give you an example, they had the same issue. My mudir, who's mashallah tabarakallah, a practicing brother, negotiated with them until he made sure that everyone in the company gets full coverage. When you seek Allah's pleasure, Allah facilitates. Now, who would have thought this is technically impossible? to change company, corporate company, and international laws, blah, 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 blah. All this was thrown on the side, and that coverage was provided because of one employee. He's still a manager, but among many other managers, he fought for it, and he got what he wanted. And now the whole company benefits from his attempt and his effort. So I'm saying, don't give up until you try. Tell them, A, B, C, do something for me, work it out for me, help me out here. You never know, akhi. It may cost them an extra 2,000 or 3,000 riyals a year. They may say, akhi, you're a good employee, wallahi, you deserve it. Abshir. And they do it for you. Don't say no until you have tried. Once you try and it doesn't work, then you say, okay, I did everything in my cause, Allah al-musta'an. But don't from the beginning raise a white flag and say, I'm done. Mashi? You never know. Al-Muhim, I'm just telling you how it is, Chief. So where was I? Aywa, we were talking about gambling. Marhaba. كالمراهنة ونحوها والأنصاب التي هي الأصنام والأنداد ونحوها. الأنصاب are like statues and idols and things like that. مما ينصب ويعبد من دون الله. Anything which is erected and worshipped other than Allah. As in Hinduism and Buddhism and all that stuff. You know, you go by a Hindu temple and you feel like you're in I don't know what. It's the thing's scary. Yani that even their gods look scary. They have these weird, you know, elephant human being with an elephant and going out, a monkey and all this stuff. But then, yani you go by the temple and if you're a child, the least that will happen to you is you'll be scared. Huh? Feel like ghosts or some crazy monsters from another world. And these things, they put them up and everything, they worship him other than Allah. These are all ansab. Huh? Ansab. Or in the case of Christians, Jesus. فهذه الأربعة نعم مما صوى الأزلام التي يستقسمون بها. أزلام are the divining arrows which they use, you know, something about also luck, matters of luck. If they, like for example, they would go out of their house and if they saw a bird or something flying in this direction, then they will go, and if they saw it flying in the other direction, they'll go back home. They say something's wrong today, pessimism and things like that. والمهم فهذه الأربعة نهى الله عنها وزجر. These four Allah Azza wa Jal has prevented and forbade, and He told us to stay away from them. وأخبر عن مفاسدها الداعية إلى تركها واجتنابها. And Allah mentioned the harmful factors that it involves, which call and invite the people to abandoning it and staying away from it. منها أنها رجس أي خبث. It is evil and corrupt and bad. نجس معنى وإن لم تكن نجسة حسا. It is, in an abstract sense, filthy. Even if it is physically not filthy. Yani, like Allah Azza wa Jalla said, that the mushrikeen are najas. صح? فلا يقرب المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا. They should not go to the haram after that year, when that ayah was revealed. Does that mean that the kafir, in his physical state, is he impure? Or does it mean that his belief system is impure? His belief. Otherwise, if he were impure, how would Allah Azza wa Jal allow a Muslim man to marry a Christian or a Jewish woman? Every time he touches her, he has to make wudu. That would be tough, man. Huh? That would be tough. So it is not the physical, it is the mental, or the that not intangible state of filthiness. والأمور الخبيثة مما ينبغي اجتنابها وعدم التدنس بأوضارها. And it's among the things which are evil and wicked, which you should not really, يعني, get yourself dirty with it. ومنها أنها من عمل الشيطان. Also, they are from the handiwork of شيطان. الذي هو أعدى الأعداء الإنسان, who is the greatest enemy from among the enemies of human beings. ومن المعلوم أن العدو يحذر منه. And as it is known, the enemy is one who you should be careful of. أين أنا؟ وتحذر مصايده وأعماله. And be careful of his traps and deeds, خصوصا الأعمال التي يعملها ليوقع فيها عدوه. Specifically the trips or the tricks of شيطان or the traps of شيطان which he intends to make you fall into and destroy you. فإنها فيها هلاك, because in it this is destruction. فالحزم كل الحزم البعد عن عمل العدو المبين. So be very firm and staying away from the handiwork of the clear enemy. والحذر منها and being wary of it والخوف من الوقوع فيها and fearing falling into it ومنها أنه لا يمكن الفلاح العبد إلا باجتنابها and also you can never attain success unless you abandon these things فإن الفلاح والفوز بالمطلوب والمحبوب بالمطلوب المحبوب والنجاة من المرهوب what is فلاح? فلاح is attaining what is desired and beloved and being safe from that which is feared وهذه الأمور مانعة من الفلاح ومعوقة له. These four things prevent success and are a hurdle in the path of success. ومنها and from among the reasons أنها هذه موجبة للعداوة والبغضاء بين الناس. All of these things create hatred and enmity and animosity among people against each other. والشيطان حريص على بثها and شيطان strives to cause this kind of division amongst the people خصوصا الخمر والميسر specifically خمر and intoxicants and ميسر gambling do they not cause enmity between human beings you better believe your best friend can become your biggest enemy if he wins your money right Your buddies and everything going together. You sit there on the table, poker, whatever, you start playing. And then at the end of the night, the guy got your watch and your phone and your everything. And you're sitting there, you know, with nothing. And he's just, yay! He's just celebrating. Huh? Are you going to like him afterwards? Well, like, my buddy, man, come on, let's go hang out. No. Many people pull out a gun and shoot him. Yeah? You want to take my stuff? I'll show you who's going to take who. Yeah, yesterday he was your best friend. Yeah, but he took all my stuff in gambling. No? So people wind up fighting over gambling. And the same thing with intoxicants. A person may go and kill his wife, kill his own child, kill anyone because he's drunk. And he doesn't know what he's doing. So it's all used to cause enmity between and hatred between the believers. فإن في الخمر من انقلاب العقل وذهاب حجة ما يدعو إلى البغضاء بينه وبين أخوان المؤمنين يعني intoxicants go to the extent of totally affecting your brain that you will wind up having hatred towards the believers خصوصا إذا اقترن بذلك من السباب من السباب ما هو من لوازم شارب الخمر specifically if that is associated with foul language which goes hand in hand with drunkenness Yeah, you find that the person who's intoxicated is always cursing, right? Always using bad language. When he can't even say, you know, say, hey, what's going on here, man? Stop cursing me out, right? وأخذ ماله الكثير أين أنا؟ أيوه فإنه ربما أوصل قتل. Maybe it may lead to crime and murder, like I told you earlier. وما في الميسر من غلبة أحدهما للآخر وأخذ مال كثير في غير مقابلة ما هو من أكبر الأسباب العداوة والبغضاء. Similarly, like I said, in gambling, the fact that someone may overtake all of your money or take over all of your money without anything just because you got, you know, the qadr was on his, you know, assisted him in his fashion, if you may say, that which leads to extreme hatred and enmity. ومنها أن هذه الأشياء تصد القلب. And also among the reasons, wow, it's a long ayah, that these things put a block over the heart. ويتبعه البدن عن ذكر الله. And then the body will follow in regards to the remembrance of Allah and Salah. You have a block from remembering Allah and from Salah. الذين خلق لهم العبد. Both the reason why Allah created the slave or the slave was created. وبها سعادته and in them is his happiness فالخمر والميسر يصدانه عن ذلك أعظم صد both intoxicants and gambling will prevent you tremendously greatly prevent you from remembering Allah and establishing salah ويشتغل قلبه and your heart will be occupied ويذهل لبه في الاشتغال بهما and it takes away your intellect and it preoccupies you with them حتى يمضي عليه مدة طويلة وهو لا يدري أين هو until a long time passes and he has no idea where he is فأي معصية أعظم وأقبح من معصية تدني صاحبها so what sin is greater and more abhorrent than the one which defiles its owner وتجعله من أهل الخبث and it makes him from among the people of filth وتوقعه في أعمال الشيطان وشباكه and then it brings him into the deeds and the handiwork of شيطان and his traps فينقاد له كما تنقاد البهيمة الذليلة لراعيها. So he will be taken and driven, Huh? Towards shaitan, like you drive and you drag an animal in a state of humiliation towards the shepherd. وَتَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ فَلَاحِهِ. And then it becomes an obstacle between you and success. وَتُوقِعُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it leads to enmity and hatred between the believers. وَتَصُدُّ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَنَ الصَّلَاةِ. And then it prevents you from the dhikr of Allah salah. Look at all these calamities behind these four things which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned. فَهَلْ فَوْقَ هَذِي الْمَفَاسِدْ شَيْءَ أَكْبَرْ مِنْهَا. Is there anything greater than these, corruption, than this corruption? ولهذا عرض تعالى على عقول السليمة النهي عنها فقال فهل أنتم منتهون. That's what Allah often proposed to the intellectual people. Are you going to stop? Okay. لأن العاقل إذا نظر إلى بعض تلك المفاسد انزجر عنها وكفت نفسه ولم يحتاج إلى وعظ قصير ولا كثير ولا زجر بليغ. Because the intellectual people, if he looked at even some of these evil consequences, then he will stay away from this thing and he will not need a lot of admonishment nor a lot of, prohibitions telling him not to do it. He will intellectually just figure it out on his own. So inshallah ta'ala, with this we conclude the discussion on ayah number 90. 91? Yeah, 91. So 92 next, huh?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So anyways, inshallah, if you all remain alive and healthy, we'll continue next week. Hadha wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Yes, sir. Aywa.